This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
حي على الصلاة.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
حي على الصلاة.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر.
الله أكبر
لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساءً، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers of peace upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify that none is worthy of worship but Allah, and that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I always remind myself and you of taqwallah azza wa jal. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inherits in myself and you a greater consciousness, awareness, taqwa, that we grow to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fear Him, and to have greater hope in His mercy, jalla wa ala. Ahibati fillah, once again, a new academic year dawns upon us here at Curtin University, and this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In beginning, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows those who have come to us from international destinations, that Allah protects them and returns them back to their families after completing their studies with success. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make easy the time that they spend with us here. And those who are locals to us here in our community in Perth, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us role models and examples for the believers wherever they may be. Allahumma ameen. My discussion is a timely discussion. I believe it's an important one, and it's one that sadly there is a lot of stigma that it's attached to it. There are different pieces that I've written on mental health and mental illness as it relates to Islam, and in particular for the month of Ramadan. So you can Google those on your own time to get a little bit more depth to this discussion. But mental health is one of the most serious concerns that human beings, in particular living in the West, struggle with. And statistically, by the numbers of people, we're seated here in the hundreds, mashallah. All of us are seeking undergraduate studies, graduate studies. There are those of us who are faculty and tenure. statistically speaking, amongst us that there is a percentage of people who are suffering from an illness that they may find within themselves, a self-stigmatization that they don't seek treatment for. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that Allah tells us and gives us many clues into the Quran that one of the tests of life is that we are hurdled by different levels of harm and difficulty. And Allah says, as is in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. And this is with lam, you know, it's an indication that this is something that will definitely happen. And of the first things that Allah speaks about is al-khawf. And another way of saying the word khawf is distress and anxiousness. Another way of saying it is to have this sense of fear of something. And it's not just khawf as it relates to life and death. Do I need to use this one?
That's what I'll say.
It's not just that it relates to, mashallah, I can hear myself now, alhamdulillah. It's not just that it relates to life and death in general, but khawf is this sense of fear that at times is internal that may be detached to a realization. And notice our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he has many invocations where he speaks about al-ham wal-hazan, where he speaks about al-khawf, where he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him and his ummah from these things that are a natural byproduct of human experience. Each and every one of us in this room has experienced a level of depression. Notice the word I said, level. Some of us it's more acute than others. Some of us it may be more prolonged than others. And clinical depression is where that depression sets in for an extended period of time that at times a person feels they can't get out of bed. They don't want to change their clothes. They find it difficult to do the normal functions that they have normally done. And subhanAllah al-A'la, each and every year that I've been chaplain here at our university, there were moments that I would be called to either Bentley Health Services or to one of the dormitories or by a group of other Muslim concerned brothers and sisters for a fellow student, male, usually more so than female, about a struggle that they're having to come to reality, to the issues that they are dealing with and to seek the help that they can be provided. So I wish to speak about two important points, inshallah. The first important point is the effect of drugs in general. And you're going to say, Shahdiyaka, mashallah, ihna bin masjid. Ega the drugs, ihna jama'a bin sabbi. We're the people who pray. We're the people who left our classes to come to the musalla. One of the most difficult aspects being involved in a community is to see the best and the worst. And I can say to you, my dear brothers, ahibbati fillah, that of the worst experiences is to see somebody who is young at the beginning of their life, that a course of choice that they made takes them from a place where they can attain great success to making a small decision of taking one particular puff of marijuana, ganja, spliff, whatever you want to call it. And you're going to say, Shaykh Yahya, astaghfirullah, this is hadha baytullah, la yudhkaru fihi hadha. And I say to you, wallahi, if you know, and I'm sure you know more than I know, of what occurs within our community, you will come to this realization that a lot of these soft drugs, as they're referred to, are gateways to severe problems later. One of the things that's rarely spoken about is the psychosis that people experience in their advanced years of 25, 26, 30 years old, 40 years old, as an effect of having consumed cannabis in their young teenage years. And I say to you, for each and every one of you, alhamdulillah, who Allah has protected, there are one or two others who are struggling with this issue. And each and every one of you here in this room, if I was to ask you, have you experienced another Muslim that you know, a person who you've seen and know by name, who's involved in this, each and every one of you, in your mind, you will say, yes, I know of a brother, I know of a sister who has been involved in this kind of thing. But the effect of it is not just immediate, it has that compounding effect of psychosis later on in life. There's so much research that comes out of Sweden and other places that a lot of the mental health issues that are associated with young people today is in direct correlation to that consumption. And for some people, they think, oh, it's, you know, medicinal value and it calms me down and allows me to detach from some of the difficulties that I'm having. And I say to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this was never a solution. The second important point, and I will come back to the first inshallah, is that there's a difference between feeling unhappy, feeling unwell, and being clinically unwell. And I want you to know that there will be people that you meet each and every day who are struggling in life. The last few days we heard of the news of a young man similar to the age of many of you in your undergraduate years. A young Muslim boy, young Muslim adult, who, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him, took his own life. And he took his own life because the struggle to deal with the pain that he was experiencing at the loss of certain things in his family was too much to bear. If you go to my Facebook page, you see I spoke a little bit about what we consider of that individual, and that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy, and that Salat al-Janazah is something that is still performed for them, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them freedom of this sin and error in the day that they meet him subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we deal with people who find themselves struggling in life? How do I deal with the struggles that I experience in life? How do we understand the verse in the Quran at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا? Allah doesn't give a person more than they can withstand. And at times it seems that my life, that the waves are crashing and the difficulties are coming. Notice the most difficult years of the life of the Prophet ﷺ are not referred to as عَام الْإِبْتِلَاء, it's عَام الْحُسْن. The year where the Prophet ﷺ's wife passed away is not referred to as the year of difficulty. It's referred to as the year of sadness. And the Prophet ﷺ experienced great sadness in his life, great grief in his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, at the death of his son, and the Prophet ﷺ buried five of his children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and I from this sunnah of the Anbiya. Could you imagine Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam saying, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ? I complain, I raise my anguish, my huzn, my sadness, my sorrow to Allah. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. His eyes turned blank, unable to see because of the sadness he experienced. That what was inside had a physical manifestation, a psychosomatic manifestation. And I want you to know that what is in your heart affects what you say and what you do and how much you eat and how much you sleep, and it puts stress in your other activities in life. And therefore there must be a solution. And the solution is of twofold. The first solution is the solution with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تُطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. That surely it is with the remembrance of Allah that hearts can find ease. And I don't want you to think what I'm saying to you is, you can just make dhikr to wish your sadness away. لا. What it means is that the dhikr is to be a reminder to you that there is something greater than you. The moment you and I will stand up for salat, what is going to summon you to prayer? Listen to the ritual, the mindfulness of our ibadah. It's not what you do, but why. Why the movements of our salat? Why do we say the things we do? What is the conscious awareness that you should have in your ibadah to Allah is what saves you from giving up hope. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say to them, to my servants who have given overlaps and trespassed against them. They've already gone away. They've already stepped away from Allah. لَا تَقْنَطُوا. Don't despair. Don't give up. And as far away as you've gone, as many things as you've experienced, as difficult as life has become, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ.
Allah's mercy is greater than all things. What does it mean when we say ala bidhikr? What is the dhikr? Dhikr fil lugha, it's four things. To tell you something you don't know. And therefore al-Qur'an al-dhikr al-hakim. Things I don't know, Allah gave them to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shari'at al-Islam. Number two, things you know but you forgot. Number three, things you know but pretend you forgot. Sometimes you know, but it just takes that one person to remind you, to wake you up, although you know, you might even know better than them. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The reminder benefits only the believers. Those who have faith in Allah are the ones who it benefits and profits. And fourth and finally, the dhikr is meant to be the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will stand before Him. The iqamah is going to be called, and the first thing that will be said is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Nothing is greater in my life than Allah. No heart, no hurt except Allah is greater than it. No difficulty except Allah is more manifest than it. Nothing that I've achieved of success except it's because of the greatness that Allah allowed me to take from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore you testify in the wahdaniyya, the tawheed you have between you and Allah. And you assume the path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you come to life through the salah, hayya ala salah, meaning that you're in a state of death. Ali radiallahu anhu, he would say, "Annasu niyam, mankind are slumbering asleep. Wa idha matu istayqadu, sadly for some, it's only when they die they wake up. It's only when they return to Allah they recognize what they forgot." And therefore Allah says, hayya, come alive, wake up, hayya ala salah. Pay attention in this prayer, hayya ala falah, this is where your success is. Qad qamat as-salah, your prayer to stand before Allah has now been established. Allahu Akbar. So you stand with that open heart, and you begin to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to a path. Think of the ibadah that you've performed. Think about standing tall before Allah. Think about the first thing you say in salah, a'udhu billah. What do you mean? I ask Allah for His protection. It means I know I'm weak and somebody needs to protect me. And as strong as I am, as intelligent as I am, as rich as I am, as much wealth and power and authority as I have in front of Allah, I am al-faqir. I'm the one in need. A'udhu, ata'awwal. I ask you for your protection. Billah, and I know it's only with Allah, that if I turn to anything, anyone, any other avenue other than Allah, it is destined to fail. If I put my hope completely in other than Allah, it is bereft of good. Min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. From the shaytan. What does the shaytan do? Allah tells you in the Quran, لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. To bring within the hearts of the believers depression and sadness and separation from Allah. To strip them away of recognizing that with Allah is the ever return, with Allah is the might that we seek. And therefore the first level of cure, of self-medication, is the remembrance of Allah, not just uttering La ilaha illallah, but pondering its magnificence, its meaning. What is La ilaha illallah? Show in your life, how does it take form and play? Where is it evident? Is it La ilaha illallah when you're sitting with those who you shouldn't be sitting with? Is it La ilaha illallah when you're poisoning your soul with what your eye is viewing? Is it La ilaha illallah where you let your tongue loose in the a'rad and in the gossip towards others? Is it really La ilaha illallah that is in your heart as you sleep through fajr? Is it really La ilaha illallah that you think saying it on its own will benefit you? If your wealth is confused with the buying and the selling of haram and halal? And therefore the La ilaha illallah that we seek, خَيْرُ مَا قَالَ النَّاسِ وَالنَّبِيُّونَ, the greatest thing anybody, any human being, all of the prophets have ever said, is that statement. In fact, even, you know, linguists, they talk about the lullaby sound. All languages of the world, the first thing that babies speak is the lullaby. when mashallah, when Allah gives you a beautiful child, they will begin to babble. This is the sound, la ilaha illallah. For us, it is a very phonic, very easy sound. Every language of the world makes it. Because it is a recognition of our tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is from the fitrah of Bani Adam. فَطَرَ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهَا. So think of the word and not just the statement that is made by the tongue. But the second level of cure is that of specialists. SubhanAllah, regularly I'll get people who will send me SMSs or emails and they'll say, Sheikh, does somebody do ruqya? Do you know somebody who can read Quran? My brother, he's got some problem. We don't know what's wrong with him. He's changed. And the first thought in people's mind is it has to be something spiritual. SubhanAllah, I've sat with educated people, doctors, PhDs. And I've sat with them, spoken to them. And they say, my son Sheikh Yahya, he used to be your student. Can you do something? And I say, ya akhi, have you thought about other things other than... Yani, it is within, sadly, it is a mistake. Sadly, within our community of Muslims, it is easier for a Muslim to believe that an unseen demon lives in a human than for them to say, my son has a mental health issue. Wallahi, sometimes you find it so difficult to say to an educated brother, educated sister, Akhi, there's no jinn living inside your son. Your son needs to go to a hospital. He needs to be seen by a clinician. He's missing a chemical. It's like any other illness. Statistically in the world, there are people who are missing things. If your son had a cancer that was growing, if your son had another ailment, would you not visit? Yes, no, Sheikh, it has to be. إحنا ما عندناش كنا ما عندنا. In our, we don't have أنا مش مجنون. ما عندناش حد مجنون. We don't have anybody who's crazy. لا. To seek help is an important tradition from the Sunnah of our Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. There is no stigma within our community to ask for help, to go to counseling services, to speak to someone who is a trained professional, Muslim or not. And there are Muslim psychiatrists who live amongst us. There are some in Rockingham, some in South Perth, and if you need that, let me know. There are trained counselors and psychologists. These are not things that are beyond our community. And if you look outside our community, there is no halaj. But to have in your mind that this is something we can't ask for help. There's no cure. The Quran is going to cure. Just read Quran for him. Give him zamzam. He's going to siyam. La ya akhi. We do the siyam. We do the zamzam. We do the Quran, but we see the doctor. Wal akhdu bil asbab. To take the means to success, the means to a cure is part of the cure. And our treatment and healing is with Allah. وَإِذَا مَرَدْتُ فَهُوَ. It is Allah who gives us the cure. But it's Allah who taught, عَلَّمَ. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Who taught mankind what they didn't know. It's all from the ilm of Allah. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. And above every specialization in knowledge, you return to the knowledge of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts. And I see... And I say to you, my dear brothers, look after each other. When the Prophet ﷺ, you know, we like to have wear these buttons and shirts, mashallah. Smile at sunnah, mashallah. It's beautiful to say, mashallah, look at the beautiful deed. Why is smiling sunnah? Tabassumuka biwajhin tadaq fi wajhi akhik sadaqa. Why is it sadaqa? Because that person, had you a'radta anhu, had you turned away, maybe that what they're feeling grows more. يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. There is waswasa within our chest, within our being. The waswasa of the nafs and the waswasa of the shaytan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove al-hamm wal-hazan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَدْفَعْ عَنَّ الْبَلَاء. To remove any tribulations and hardships. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes anxiety and fear and khawf from our lives and from those that we love.
Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our young and old from the scourge of drugs and cannabis. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heals our homes and our communities. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala sayyidina Muhammad. Aquluhu bi hadha wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد محمد بن عبد الله عليه أفضل الصلاة وتم التسليم. Finally, my dear brothers and sisters, I wish to share some of the Sahaba who experienced mental health issues. SubhanAllah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he reports that in the years of poverty in Al-Madinah, when he first came into Islam, 4 years before the death of the Prophet ﷺ, around the time of the Ahzab and the Confederates surrounding Medina, he said that food was so scarce that because of my malnutrition, I used to fall on the ground in a fit. I used to fall on the ground and I would shake. And people, when they would see me, they would say, something must have bothered him. Why is he doing like this? And I had no mess. There wasn't any shaitan or anything like it, but it was a jua, it was hunger that affected me in this way. There was one of the women of the Ansar, she came to the Prophet ﷺ, this is also narrated in Bukhari. She said, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, I have a sarar, I have epileptic seizures, that at times my brain, something happens to me, that I fall on the ground, وَأَتَكَشَّرْ. And because I'm in that state, sometimes my body, it may become uncovered. And this is after the verses of Hijab. O Messenger of Allah, ask Allah to heal me. The Prophet ﷺ said, I will ask Allah to heal you, or I will ask you to be patient, and I will ask Allah that you be patient, and it's your reason for Jannah. And I share this with you, that those who struggle with a mental health issue, and those who have to take its medicine, and it's a lifelong journey of dealing with anxiety, or fear of getting on a plane, or fear of being in close surroundings, or fearing of failure and missing test after test, because if I go I'm gonna fail, I would rather drop the year. That somebody who struggles with this and puts their trust in Allah and shows that patience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that their ajr is reward. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That the patient ones are those who get a reward with Allah unaccounted for, infinite. So she said, O Messenger of Allah, make dua that my clothing doesn't leave me if this happens, then I will be patient. And the Prophet made this dua for his wife. In the authentic hadith of Imam Muslim, there was a woman in the people of Medina that they said that in her mukh, in her brain, was a defect. She would just babble. Sometimes you see somebody just babbling, talking, and can't stop. So one day, as the Prophet ﷺ kharaja min al-masjid, this woman stopped him. And she said, Ya Nabi Allah, uridu minka kalima. O Messenger of Allah, Ya O Prophet of Allah, I wish for one word with you. He said, khalli tariq wa khudi kalimat, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa waqafa ma'ha bayna al-dhuhri al-asr. A woman, she says, O Messenger of Allah, I need to have a word with you. She's that one who just can't stop talking. He said, come to the side of the road so we don't block anyone. Give the right of way. Come to the side and take many words. And he stood with her from dhuhr till asr, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing us the importance of supporting others who find it difficult to struggle, not to make them feel that they're unwelcome and unwell, that it is our right as Muslims upon each other to assist each other in our difficulties and in our times of need. And for the Prophet ﷺ, who is busier, has a more important duty and time and task than you and I, to take from dhuhr till asr, to listen to the ramblings of a woman, it teaches us the ethics of being in the assistance of others. And finally, I leave you with the hadith of our Nabi ﷺ, where he would make dua to Allah. And I want you to consider the words of the Prophet ﷺ. That the Prophet ﷺ would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hasad. O Allah,
أعوذ بك. I ask only you for this refuge. Meaning that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a power to assist us to overcome al-ham wal-hazan, that which brings depression and that which brings sorrow. And therefore all clinicians, psychiatrists and psychologists will tell you that for you to have an attitudinal shift, for you to believe I can be better, is the first step for you having a more productive lifestyle than not. Anytime, Ya Abdullah, you find yourself, and this is for all of us, anytime you find yourself difficult to get yourself motivated, do the three recommended statements. Act, get up and do something. Belong, get involved with other people. Be at the service of others. Don't just make it about yourself. Because when you serve others, Allah sends others to serve you. When you serve others, you feel good about what you don't have. You serve others, Allah puts in your heart rahmah and commit. Get involved with something each and every day. Have a routine, a wird of adhkar in the morning, adhkar in the evening, prayer in the masjid for fajr, prayer in the masjid for isha. Meet certain people throughout your day. Set up a support network that will assist you in that which you seek. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our hearts and makes us of those who are sources of guidance and ease for other people's difficulties and discomfort. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل أعداءك أعداء الدين اللهم اهدنا واهدهم يا رحم الراحمين اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا واهدنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق وصل اللهم وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأقم الصلاة
اللهم صل
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله